Welcome to the Green Divas Radio Show. Host Green Diva Meg and sidekick Green Dude Scott share resources and ideas for green living as they explore fun and low-stress ways to live a deeper shade of green. And now, your hosts, Green Diva Meg and Green Dude Scott.
I'm used to that, so it's not a big deal.
I still love like feeling like I've got this audience going, like, yeah. But we do, of course, because you are cheering out there, aren't you?
I can hear them. I can hear them now.
Green Divas Radio Hour. Thank you for tuning in. We have a great show tonight, and we also have with us tonight Green Diva Lisa, our Green Diva correspondent from Austin, Texas, in the house.
Happy to be here. It's a little cold compared to Austin up here, but happy to be here.
Really?
Well, when you leave, we're going with you, by the way.
So is everybody else. Everywhere I go, people are moving to Austin.
Yeah, we're taking it on the road, man. So what actually is the temperature like now down there this time of year?
I didn't check today, but I talked to somebody yesterday, and it was 67 degrees.
Wow. A balmy 67.
Yep. It was warm.
Somebody's calling me, but I'm going to hit the ignore button because I don't know who it is.
Sales call. We're busy.
Yeah, hello.
Hello. Don't you know?
Yeah. So anyway, today we have, among all the other fun stuff we're going to talk about, we do have our wonderful green car dude, John Volker, who's the senior editor of High Gear Media. And, you know, we frequently see him, obviously, on greencarreports.com, which is one of High Gear Media's websites. So he's going to call in at 7:40, theoretically, and we've been corresponding with him. There's so much to talk about in just the green auto space. We keep John busy, and we're really grateful because he is a busy guy. He's really out there doing a lot of great stuff, and so I'm grateful he's going to call in. Yay!
Okay, I got the weather from Austin.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, it's 75.
And what time is it?
It's 7 o'clock,
there.
But I have to tell you.
There. It's 75
it's 75
and 6
degrees?
It's going to get cold in Austin.
Yeah, but you know what? What temperature is it, you know, August 5th? Right?
I don't know. What is it, August 5th?
Like 112?
Yeah, it's a little warm
okay.
in the summer.
All right.
Dry heat, though.
I rest my case.
No,
it
dry
is
heat.
Drier than Houston and Dallas, but it.
Yeah, wait.
It's
I just
hot.
Want to tell you all about that dry heat thing. You know, I went to Phoenix for 2 weeks in August, and everybody said, "Oh, but it's dry heat. It's no problem." So I go down there, and they have this uncharacteristically hot and humid time, and it was 112 degrees with like 50% humidity because it's what they
That's
call their
killer.
Monsoon season. And I would walk out to my friend's garage, and it was literally like a 150 degree sauna. I was like, well, you know, if it weren't for the smell of gasoline, I might just strip down and sit here and, you know, do my little sauna thing. But
well, I tell you, the best weather ever that I ever found.
Guam. I knew you were going to say
that. And the reason for that, it's very hot and humid every day. But
so
it's every day.
You acclimate to it.
You get used to it.
Yeah. You get used to running around in your skivvies.
Yes, that's not...
We saw pictures of you doing that. We did.
It wasn't skivvies. Okay, moving right along now.
Yeah, okay.
So,
So how was everybody's holidays so far?
Well, you know, my kids are grown, so it was like, let's get the presents unwrapped, and I'll see you later.
Yeah, go to my girlfriend's house.
Yeah, well,
Well, this
know.
Was the first time I've been to my son and his new bride's for
Aww.
Christmas, so that was a new experience, and the in-laws came, and my other son, Plenty, came up for a visit, and their boy's dad and their wife came.
Oh, Ricky and Rachel came
Rick
up?
Rick and Rachel came,
wow.
So it was really very low-key, very easygoing.
Such a modern
nice.
Family.
Well, you have a junior Christmas person in your house, didn't you,
oh,
this Christmas?
Oh, we've got...
A little guy?
Listen, my favorite Christmas present was my little grandson.
Yeah.
He's such a pistol. And he's young enough that he doesn't really know what's going on, but he just had a blast.
But he knows
time.
He likes it.
And he didn't get, like, overstimmed. Carly's very good. She, you know, she's not feeding him any sugar or crap yet, so he didn't get, like, crazy on cake or anything. Not that we had any, but... He was such a happy little guy. And I one of my favorite Christmas presents, and Lisa suggested it, was my flip camera, my little flip video camera. So the first thing I did was unleash it on the kid. And Zach, being the director and producer that he is, says, oh, I got an idea. You got an idea. So he stuffs the kid in a box. I'm like, oh, no.
What?
Yeah, he did. He stuffed the kid in the big box.
It was a big box.
It was a big box.
Poke holes in it.
And he's like, watch this. And so, and now Wayne, we assume everybody knows what's happening, but Wayne wasn't paying attention. You know.
Again?
Again. So
game was on.
So anyway, we got this film of Zach walking over going, I got this gift. And he puts the box down. Now, and Zach, the baby's playing along, 9 months old. He's not crying like, oh, my God, I'm in a box. You know, the top's closed and everything. And then Zach opens it up, and the baby pops out like on cue. So freaking adorable. Like all smiles like, hi. And
oh,
Wayne,
boy.
And Wayne is screaming, you know, cause, with laughter because he had no idea. It was like a jack in the box, you know. For
so,
him.
So, like a so what you're saying, this kid's prime and ready for Hollywood.
Well, they have an agent for him. They do.
They do.
Well, you know, I mean, Zach's in the biz, so he's got a casting agent that's already got him in the mix.
He'll be doing like remake of the Titanic and everything.
Oh my God! As long as he doesn't go down with the ship, I'm good.
Well, I'm glad you. Got
well,
the-
he does.
I'm glad you got the flip camera because I got to see it on the.
Oh yeah, see, so yeah,
well, Facebook.
My Facebook people saw it.
What?
Where were you?
What'd you do? Unfriend me? I didn't see it.
You're just not paying attention. You were Wayne.
That could very well be.
But I, you know, Lisa's idea with the flip was, you know, really now that we're podcasting and archiving things, it's very easy. And this high def, that thing is an HD. It's amazing the quality.
Just
no,
be careful what you put on the camera there, sis.
Camera producer. Oh, no porn? Homemade porn. Oh, my God. Whoops, I posted the wrong thing. That would be just horrifying. On so many levels, really. So many levels. Yeah, it's not happening. Don't worry.
No, but it will be fun to share when you meet somebody and you hear a new story about something green and sustainable.
And our little silent Jessie over here is kind of wielding the thing.
Yeah,
saw her pointing it at me earlier. I hope I was entertaining. I did. It did make me put lipstick on before because I thought, you know what? Yeah, I'm just too vain. I don't want to be all.
Really?
I know. You see me in my pajamas most shows.
Well, it is radio.
But once, well, remember when we were thinking of doing the CBS in New York? They were going to have cameras live streaming.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this means I can't go to the studio in my PJs anymore?
Well, I don't know about that.
It could be a thing, a shtick.
A shtick. Yeah. The green divas in their PJs.
Not very diva-like.
Yeah.
Well, unless we had, you know, feathers.
Satin
and
you know, robes. And
But they'd have to be
fake feathers. Yeah, right.
No dye. No.
Petroleum-based feathers.
What?
I'm just having fun with you. So anyway, what was green about your Christmas, Scott?
Oh, the tree.
The tree. That's a good answer.
Well, I posted something on the Green Divas about recycling your Christmas tree. And look into it. Don't just throw it out to the curb where it's going to end up.
I think it's a great idea. A lot of towns have, you know, they use it, they chip it, they make mulch for their gardens, community, whatever, gardens.
I just spent a couple days in Philadelphia with my friend Lara, and she started the first Christmas tree recycling program because they were just throwing them in the landfill. And now, first they did it in Northern Liberties, which is a really interesting community in terms of urban changes that they're making for sustainable living. But they did it there, and they got 300 trees the first time they did it right at their local park.
Well,
and
why
so
not?
It's grown all over the city, and now the mayor is involved, and there's a department for sustainable living in the mayor's office now, and they're getting involved, and they did it in 9 different locations in the city this year.
That's great. Well, all right, so you posted that. I saw that. When and how do I train you to like put a little dash and say GD Scott so I know who posted, not a random person?
With a ruler or yardstick.
Whip. Yeah, okay.
And or riding crop, really?
And then while I'm bitching, you have to learn how to put the right photograph. You got like an ad. You got like this.
Who? Where?
I'm going to have to give you lessons on posting on the Facebook page.
Hey, I've been married for 22 years. I know exactly how to answer this. Huh?
Huh?
What?
I didn't hear you. What? That's our Nana. Remember Nana? Huh? 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 And then you'd just shut up and wait, and she'd go, oh, okay.
She did.
Yeah. See? Old smart people. All
right? That's right. Yeah. Well, you're going to have to give me some lessons too, Maggie.
Yeah.
I'm a little
techno dork. No, it's not that hard. It's really not.
Well, for green Christmas this year, we reduced our volume of presents.
Yeah.
And we did a Yankee pick. Everybody bought one present at a certain under a certain price, and it was perfect. Everybody,
a what pick? A what?
We called it a Yankee pick.
Why? I thought that
is,
was
is that
just
some
like a
derogatory
grab
northern
thing?
Person thing?
Wasn't that just a grab bag?
Texas.
What's the Yankee pick thing?
Well, it's no. There's a system that it's not as complicated as our brother Doug plays.
Oh God!
But really? It's got its rules, and so the first person that picks is allowed to pick any of the other presents the last person that picks. And every time you get up to pick a present, you can either pick a present and open it up or take somebody else's present.
It's pretty much the same thing with just slightly what? Different rules. Because you know what? I was never number one. And Marion always
oh my goodness.
Was number one. And
you
it became
are a middle
a thing.
Child.
And
wow.
Jenny would be like, I can't believe she's number one again. Because number one gets to pick whatever they want at the very end. So this year, for the first time in 18 or 20 years, however long we've been doing this, I got number one. But guess what? I didn't want to steal anybody's present. I liked what I had. I was like, okay, we're good. Why didn't it happen the year we had the DVD player?
Oh.
Come
wow,
on.
Really?
Oh. Yeah. That's... My nephew, remember that?
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you were there that year.
Were there any brawls on Christmas?
Oh, yes, we've had, yes.
Yeah, I was
yes.
going to say, we wow, that could create some issues.
Out of town.
Oh, my God.
It's been laughter.
No, well, yeah, yeah.
Except
but,
Marion's mother. She had a little hard time.
She didn't know what was going on. She's blind. But, no, one year Krista got a little upset about something, and she, like, stole something. But last year Carly, like, was, you know, just about to get married, and she's pregnant with this guy, and you know, Zach, and Zach's mother was with us, and you know, trying to make a good impression and all, Carly stole her present. I was like, what are you doing? That's your future mother-in-law. You don't steal a present the first Christmas Eve.
No, she was smart.
It's not really stealing, by the way.
She was, she
let
was,
me clarify
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you trade. You trade. Yeah,
you
I know.
You get to choose somebody
else.
Yeah, you know, she like gave her like the little stupid candle and took the Walmart card.
Ah,
you
she's smart. I know what she was doing. She was setting down the ground rules right from the start.
I'm thinking, not your almost mother-in-law, not yet. Start the war early. Anyway, she
yeah,
was a
choose
lo-
your battles.
No, she's a lovely woman and took it all in stride. But Carly well, gets pretty serious about it.
I'd have to say it's pretty unusual.
What?
That whole concept of stealing presents.
No, it's
or
a
not
trade.
Stealing,
it's
but
a
trading.
Trade thing. But you know, like if you like yours, you gotta hide it. And you know
what?
Well, no, that's the fun of it is just waiting to see. It's like Chutes and Ladders, you know that game, that board game where you just go along and you think you've got, you're going great, and then you hit a chute and down you go.
You were playing Chutes and Ladders yesterday.
I was with my 5-year-old little friend.
Life is like Chutes and Ladders, by the way, so I guess what the heck.
Megan, you do know that Uncle Milt Neal created that game, didn't you?
No, I did not.
Chutes and Ladders in Candyland.
Get out.
Mm-hmm.
Is he still getting, you know, he's dead.
He's gone, unfortunately. But that
he was the creator of Howdy Doody.
He didn't create Howdy Doody itself. He met Bob Smith, who had that Howdy Doody, but he created all the other characters around the Howdy Doody show.
Okay.
And he used to work for Disney.
Yeah, we have one of his cartoons on. In Wayne's office.
Mm-hmm. He used to work for Disney early on in Disney days, and he was the animator for Dumbo because he was an aviator.
What?
Really?
I know. I've heard this story. Hey.
I haven't heard this story. What
oh,
the hell?
Am I We're... repeating ourselves?
What? Why is she flashing me?
Because you're not reintroducing us.
Oh, okay. Just so, yeah, for anybody who's just tuning in, you're on with the Green Divas.
You're supposed to pay attention to Green Diva Scott.
Green Diva Scott? I thought you were a green
dude.
And
Green Diva Lisa.
There you go. And
from Austin.
I will also take the moment to do a shameless plug for our website, thegreendivas.com. That's T-H-E, greendivas.com.
The.
Yeah, the. Well, you know, it was what was available. That's how it worked out. But you can also find us on Facebook. Please like us. I'm trying to get our, you know, little fan base there growing. We're up to the number 1, 2, 3, 4, and I was hoping to get to like 12,345. That's what I'm looking for. Anyway, so you can find us on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter. Scott, did you get your Twitter thing going yet?
I have to find my Twitter thing because I have Twitter somewhere.
I have to get my Twitter on.
I gotta get my Twitter on.
I'm actually on Twitter, but
really,
my nonprofit, so I don't.
Well, let's get you
I
on. At see, I'm at Green Diva Meg. You can be at Green Diva Lisa.
I could
at Green
Farmer
Dude Scott.
Scotty.
Farmer Scotty, whatever.
I think that's what I'm at. But anyways,
that's That's what you
So, mean. Yes, there is an awful lot going on. It's
Wait,
about to
I
be the new year.
I haven't talked about my green holiday yet.
Yeah, you did. Oh, you,
did I?
You, yeah, you shoved some
well,
kid in a box.
I shoved a kid in a box. Yeah, this is your recycled. It's a kid recycled. No.
What was green about your holiday?
Well, thing? I just want to say that I actually fell apart a little bit on the wrapping thing because I used a lot of paper, and I was like, you know, if I get caught, this is not very Green Diva. But I used old paper, if that matters. Like, I didn't buy too much new stuff. I just used what I had. However, with some of the gifts, I did use, as Lisa will attest, I used dish towels. I buy dish towels, like, that are kind of festive colors, but not obnoxious Christmas, because you can use it all year round, right?
That's right.
And it's funny, because Doug opened his and said, oh, I think I have one of these. And I said, yeah, I bought them in bulk last year. You'll be getting them for a few years. So your little collection of these. So I use, you know, I try to use some. And the other thing that I did that was like a little green or cool nature or whatever, is I did make some organic herbal face wash for the girls.
I can't wait to use it. Yeah. I've heard from our sister Jenny that,
did she try
that
it?
It's great.
Did
yeah, she loved it.
I am stunned. Did you try it yet, Jess?
I didn't get any.
What? Did you trade it?
Oops.
Did you trade it in your thing?
No,
I know where you can get some.
I totally forgot my kids got ripped off because I ran out of the grapeseed oil, and I was like, ooh, I got to go get more. I'll make you some.
Yeah, your birthday's coming. Yeah.
You heard it here,
so I
folks.
I can tell my kids.
Oh, this, and she's filming me. This is awful.
Well, speaking of wrapping paper, this year under our tree we had a little recycling thing going on. I, being the merry wanderer, I do suffer from severe wanderlust. I travel a lot. And I wrapped all my presents with old maps.
Oh, that's clever.
And under the tree, I had my presents with the old maps, so you could tell which ones were mine or from me. And then my son showed up, and all the presents he wrapped were on architecture paper. He's an architect,
oh,
so all of
wow.
the old
blueprint?
Plans, blueprint plans. He
that's
wrapped
so
all
cool.
his presents with that, so that was a way of recycling. Oh. And
you guys are so darn clever.
Well, our very good friend, Dr. Heather Eves.
Oh, yeah.
And Green Diva. That she
yeah,
is.
She's one of our Green
posted
Diva
posted that she found an organic, or yeah, organic.
Orgasmic?
Organic, easy. Organic cotton cloth wrapping solution.
Yes, she did post that before.
That is a lot like what you did with wrapping it in a hand
Is
towel.
It just me, or
so
do you guys smell Chinese food?
I feel like
well,
I smell
we do holy. Have neighbors.
Yeah, but
and
like,
there's
they,
the heat.
Yeah. Wow.
Where it's
what,
are
you
the
getting hungry?
Yeah.
It's making me hungry.
You want some candy?
No, I've had...
Piece of candy go for a ride?
No. No, thank you.
Well, now, that's organic cotton paper that she used. Is it something you use afterwards?
Oh, yeah. It's reusable for all holidays. And there's a link here. It's chewingthecud.com.
I'm inspired.
Yeah, that's very, very
so
you'll
have to find your way through it because I haven't looked
Wait
at it.
Wait a minute. I'm going there right now because that sounds too funny.
Chewing the cud.
Thecud.com. Now, one of my favorite places
there
that does raw milk and cheese, raw milk cheese
Look
and
at
bakery,
that.
Their website is happycowsoutside.com, which I love. But
I'm showing
that's
Lisa
pretty. There. I'm looking at the different patterns. And, you know, I did that one year with our big sister, Jenny. I don't think it was sustainable fabric at the time.
Well, I'm there, but I'm not seeing it yet. Out milking the cows. Be back January 3rd.
No,
that's
we're,
funny.
We're on, oh, the Chewing the Cud?
Yeah, chewingthecud.com. Where did you find it?
Shop.
Shopping?
Okay.
Try shop and then fabric wraps.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a clever site, too.
Pretty colors and pretty fabric.
Rustic
and
florals, Woodlands Affair.
See,
very clever.
I tell you, I hate wrapping presents.
Well, yeah.
So I always get the bag. Put it in the bag.
Mm-hmm. Shove it in the bag. Well, we've been recycling bags back and forth. I have some Christmas bags.
Well, right,
for years.
And then, I mean, I've reused bags.
Yeah.
You know, you fold them up, you put them away, and next time you have a gift for somebody, you put it in the bag.
Right.
Do it. Because that wrapping paper just gets, it's out of control.
One year. Yes.
You can't walk through the living room because, you know, it's Christmas and
yeah.
wrapping paper everywhere.
I know.
One year when my kids were small and we We did all brown paper bags. We cut up brown paper bags, and we wrapped all our presents with them, and the kids took magic markers and drew on them.
Yeah, we've done that, right? Yeah, Jesse's remember. I think one year I had stamps, and so we like had a little stamping fun.
Oh, yeah, I remember that year.
Yeah.
One year we did newspaper. That was a big mistake.
Yeah, kind of messy, right?
A little messy.
I hate newspapers. I just hate them.
Well, have you noticed how small they're getting, which is good, but I think they're doing it for cost-cutting reasons.
Yeah, they're not trying to be eco-friendly.
Well, they're getting smaller. I mean, it's a lot less.
They're getting more electronic is what they're doing, and they're getting... You know, actually, the New York Times is getting kind of clever. Are you having a hot flush there, sis?
Thank you very much.
Right underneath the register there.
I'm having a hot flush.
There's the heat right there.
I didn't know whether maybe the Chinese food was getting to her. You know, I don't know.
I'm hungry, too, but mostly it's hot flush.
No,
do you want some candy?
I'm the older diva sister.
What the hell was I talking about?
Your green Christmas. And
no.
Shoving a kid in a box.
I'm over it. No, really. So I made the organic facial wash, and I used some, you know, dish towels, and everybody's
happy.
She's
stripping in the studio here.
This is radio, after all.
Yeah. Actually,
I'm having a good
my
time.
Sister Jenny.
Oh, my gosh. I'm stripping in my first radio show.
She's a stripper. My sister Jenny.
Wait. Say that again. Your sister the stripper.
No.
I've been called worse.
Isn't that what you just said?
No, would you just stop? What the? My sister Jenny gave me a gift on Christmas Eve in this adorable little bag. And so Christmas Day, I packed my stuff into her. And she's like, oh, you got the same bag. No.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Whatever.
I'm recycling.
Well, you can't drink the same time I'm drinking. There's dead air when we're both drinking.
I know, dead air.
And I think you're supposed to be talking exactly the same time as well. 1, 2, 3, don't drink.
Well, maybe we should turn on some music and then we can all suck down our fluids.
Sure.
Jess, I've got some music set up for today's show. Shoo. Sort of, you know, like New Year's kind of stuff.
New Year's stuff? Music?
Sort of. Well, you know, there's a little bit of a
Dick Clark's doing it again.
Really?
Isn't he dead yet?
Well, he had a stroke, and I tell you,
Let's
listen to the music, and then we'll talk about
it later.
Bye-bye.
Next year.
No, stay tuned.
Like the music? If you're listening to a podcast, you won't be able to hear it.
Sorry.
To hear Green Diva tunes, you have to listen every Thursday night from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Now more from Green Diva Meg and Green Dude Scott.
Jesse is so on the ball tonight. I'm like all over the place.
She's a
pro. I just checked my text, and Ivan, our fantastic producer, remote as it were, he wrote in that the Yankee pick game is also known as Dirty Santa, and his family plays it also. I'm like, Dirty Santa? I love that.
I think I've heard that.
And he said, I was saying something about the New York Times being so clever. You know, what they're doing now, I saw an ad that they're starting to do these courses, like really interesting courses, and I wish I could be more articulate about it, but I thought, well, there's another way to generate revenue that's kind of it, because I wanted to take the course, and I can't remember what it was. It's not like, you know, college necessarily, but just like an interesting seminar sort of sponsored by the New York Times.
And are these, do they cost very much money?
Well, you know, I didn't get that into looking into it. I just thought to myself, well, there's a clever way for them to make money, because their print is probably dying.
Yeah.
And frankly, whatever it was interesting. You know, if you read the New York Times, you probably have a certain frame of mind, and you're interested in certain things. And they're banking on that mindset. And, you know, the New York intellectual wants to take a seminar with the New York Times. I wouldn't call myself a New York intellectual, but, you know, I'm a wannabe.
So what are you reading over there, Scott?
Bad news.
What?
Well, it's what I mentioned before about OPEC.
About the oil, yeah, $100 a barrel.
Well, you're right. Their comfort zone is between $70 and $80 a barrel, and it's gone beyond that. And they're not taking any steps to stop it.
I'm pretty sure John did a post this week or an article about the fact that, you know, by the time 2011 is over, we're going to be seeing $5 a gallon gas, and it probably won't. It'll probably stay there.
Well, I think 3 is going to be the new low, is what it's going to come down to.
I paid more than 3 on the way up here.
Oh, yeah.
Well, some states have more taxes. And New Jersey, relatively, oddly enough, New Jersey is a really good state for
gas.
Well,
we are a refinery, so.
We are. There is that Newark refinery thing going on. So, anyway. Well, what John's going to, you know, John's going to talk to us about all that. And it's not necessarily such bad news because we are coming to speed pretty quickly with a lot of, you know, vehicles to offset.
So were you asking the question earlier, Scott, about what would you do differently if you had to pay $5 a gallon for gas?
Well, right. That's actually a question that John had posted on his blog.
Oh, okay.
And it's coming. And fortunately, there's a couple things coming into play. Obviously, the electric cars and the hybrid plug-ins are coming along. But also, the government is, or the EPA, is requiring improvement in gas mileage in all cars.
Oh, yeah. There's a mandate. And the car companies will be, I guess, fined or penalized in some way.
So what do we do in the meantime for those of us that aren't buying new cars right away?
Right.
You know, what are the kinds of things we're doing? I mean, I've started to think about that. You know, there's certain things we can all do personally, like make sure the air in your tires is full. That saves gas.
Maximizing, yeah.
Right.
Well, and carpooling and maybe not, you know, not leaving the house as often as we, you know, to travel to the store being more conscientious.
Unnecessary trips, right.
Yeah, being careful, sort of putting all your chores together so that you're
I actually map out my little driving chores, like if I got to stop at this store and the dry cleaners, and I map it out so that I get it, you know, get them on the way so I don't have to do a lot of driving around in circles, which, you know, on an unorganized day I end up doing that, but when I'm thoughtful about it, it's pretty, you know, streamlined, I guess, you know. But also, Jennifer and I, and we still do this because we live close to each other, you know, we'll call and say, I'm going down to Trader Joe's. Do you need anything?
Right, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and because it's a little bit of a trip.
Yeah, well, out here we have to do that because nearest anything is, well, the closest town is 8 miles, which doesn't sound like much, but when you really think about it, when you go to town, that's a 16-mile, at least, round trip. And it's more like 20.
Wow.
To get to the grocery store and stuff. So,
neighbors are pretty good about checking in. And
well, we do that, and also we plan our trips, and we'll put off a trip because we don't need that. And, you know,
you really do the how important is it, and like, okay, I can live without that till we go out to.
But there's a lot to do. We can discuss that, you know, each show. But things you can do to, you know, I mean, we've really lived quite well here in the States because, I mean, in Europe, they're already paying.
Oh, they've been paying like $5 a gallon for a while.
Well, look what they're driving, too.
And they're driving those little tiny, they're funny, they're little trucks that are all kind of smashed up, compact.
Well, did you see that France is restricting in the
inner cities?
And John,
Paris.
John can discuss that
it's not
also.
Not France, but in the core of Paris, I guess there's a certain, you know, area that they've mapped out. You cannot drive an SUV.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Well, they just don't like SUVs. But I don't blame them.
I think John's calling.
I always got a tickle out of some of the your neighboring town.
Mountain
Lakes?
There's
so many SUVs. And I know for a fact many of them never see snow or any need.
Oh, my gosh. I had spent some time in Dallas. You know, I live in Austin, and everybody's pretty conscious in Austin. Even though it's Texas and everyone needs a car, still, I spent some time in Dallas recently, and I can't tell you how many Hummers I saw on the road.
Yeah, what are they doing in Dallas?
Yeah.
They're like bulletproof?
Really?
Okay, listen. I think we have John, who I'm going to just announce again, John Volker, who's the senior editor of High Gear Media. And frequently, he's on several of their sites, but the greencarreports.com is one of the most relevant ones we love to look at. And John, I think, is one of the leading green car dudes out there. So, anyway, we're thrilled that he's with us. I think he's with us.
I'm here.
Hi, John.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. Happy New Year, a little early.
A little early. We're heading that way.
2011 is going to be quite a year.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, we had such a flurry of exciting ideas by email today. I thought, obviously you're just going to have to come back on the show more often. But just so our listeners know, John is going to be on with us on the 30th of January, which And we're going to have him on for like a whole half hour or maybe more. Because, well, we just we don't get enough of you, John. But he's going to be calling from the Detroit Car Show?
It'll be right after the Detroit Car Show, which happens in about 2 weeks. And I can give you the whole rundown then.
Yeah. There's
going to be a lot of green vehicles there, and it's really the direction the whole industry is moving. Although, I did discover this wonderful statistical thing. Do you know what year this country consumed the most gasoline?
Oh, no. What?
Oh, it's
2006.
Yeah. That's weird.
Our gasoline consumption has actually been starting to go down, and there is a body of thought out there that says, in fact, that was the peak.
Well,
you
know why? Because that was the year we started publishing Relevant Times, and, you know.
It's all the diva's fault, right?
Right, exactly. That was. Well, there's a handful of things that are contributing to this. As you know, people are moving away slowly from the largest and heaviest SUVs, pickup trucks, if they don't need them for their jobs. You know, I've always sort of maintained it kind of silly for a 120-pound woman to take a 60-pound child and an 80-pound child, or a 160-pound dad, for that matter, to their soccer practice in a 3-ton, 18-foot-long, 6.8-liter V8 engine vehicle when they only need that vehicle twice a summer to tow something. But one of the things is that slowly people are moving into smaller vehicles, but all vehicles are going to get a lot more fuel efficient based on the set of fuel economy standards that the Obama administration sat down and hammered out with the EPA and the automakers pretty soon after it got into office. So now we know the fuel economy standards for 2012 through 2016.
Right.
There's also ethanol. There is more ethanol in gasoline now than there has been, and the EPA recently issued a ruling, which, of course, the auto industry turned around and sued them for, saying that you could now put up to 15% ethanol in gasoline, but only for cars 2007 and newer, which is going to be a little bit complex to execute in practice. But
yeah, really. And
generally, people expect more ethanol.
But don't some people claim that the ethanol reduces the efficiency of mileage? Or?
There is no question that ethanol actually reduces gas mileage. There is simply less energy in a gallon of ethanol compared to a gallon of gasoline. It's their chemical makeup. So if you, for instance, run on E85, which the flex fuel cars can do, not all cars are flex fuel.
Okay.
But and that's a different thing from going from E10 to E15, 10% to 15% ethanol. But if you run an E85, your mileage actually goes down 20 to 30% just based on the amount of gallons of fuel that you put into your car, because there's less energy, so a gallon of ethanol can move you less far.
Okay.
Now, it is a renewable resource, although this is not the time or place to get into the major arguments both ways about ethanol. But that is going to be one of the things.
That's another show.
Yeah, or several.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Plus, the other thing that's happening is in 2011, one of the reasons I'm so excited about the new year is this is the year when major numbers, tens of thousands of plug-in electric vehicles from major car makers start to reach buyers.
Right.
And in fact, just a couple weeks ago, we reported on the first Nissan Leaf finding its buyer in San Francisco, a very nice gentleman named Oliver Chalui, who used the Leaf to replace the electric bicycle he used to commute to work in Silicon Valley on. And the first Volt found its buyer in suburban New Jersey, so we're off and running.
Is it in my neighborhood, and why am I not playing with it?
The latter part of the question I will leave you to take up with your GM, PR, and press representative.
Oh, we tried, remember?
I know. I have been kind of... They're going to try to accommodate us somehow, but...
Yeah. They're actually, as far as I know, not even starting Volt press fleet loans. Most of the drives have been in these very controlled sort of one-day events, but they will do that.
And only special people like John get to drive them.
Well,
as you should. We need his good advice.
I know.
That's right.
I have to tell you, I've seen the Volt ads, and there are a number of them, and they're impressive.
It's interesting. The Volt ads cut both ways. There's this one ad. I actually wrote down the wording. Was it
the gasping, or the, well, I shouldn't say the outlet that was to just
the outlet one? I kind of like.
Yeah, I like
there's
that
this other one that's very sort of apple pie in America, and it talks about how we're a nation of people who take last minute detours and commit spontaneous acts of freedom. And what this is all sort of going to underline is Chevy's trying to have it both ways.
Yeah.
They're saying this is an electric car, so that's good, but it's not like all those other electric cars that are bad,
right,
because they might leave you stranded.
Well, right. I tell you, range anxiety is going to be a big problem for a lot of people.
Okay.
Although, let's be real. Does any of us know someone who spontaneously, one morning, woke up, got in the car, and decided to drive several thousand miles?
Yeah, actually, well, I've done it, but, you know, not in a long time. That was pre-kids. Okay, now, I'm cutting everybody off because I want to get, we have a listener who is listening tonight and has asked us about, she wants an idea for a new car. And she's, you know, interested in a hybrid, but her perception is that they're really not good for the environment, which is interesting, but it does save a little money. And then there was some commentary. She also wouldn't mind a luxury car. She wants comfort. But there was some commentary on this about electric, because I said, well, you know, hey, there's all these electric cars coming out, and somebody commented about, where is it? I told you about it before, but, oh, yeah, she said, Megan, gas prices are going up, but so much electric, and most electric plants are coal, which isn't that good for the environment. So
all very good questions.
Yeah.
Let me deal with them one by one.
Okay.
First, the question about hybrids and are they good for the environment. Some of this comes from a study that has been widely discredited that came out 3 or 4 years ago that purported to show that a Prius was worse for the environment than a Hummer. Now, part of it was based on the fact that you have to mine various types of metals and minerals for the battery pack. But overall, there's a wonderful MIT study from about 10 years ago that says, look, over the lifetime of a vehicle, assuming it lasts 10 years and you drive it 150,000 miles or whatever their particular assumptions were, over the lifetime of a vehicle, something like, what was it? It was in the high 70s, something like 78% of its carbon profile is the fuel it consumes to move it and you around, and another 16 or 18% is the carbon that's emitted to refine, dig out, transport, and distribute that fuel.
Okay.
The manufacturing of the car is less than 10% of its overall profile. Now, yes, you may have different types of environmental damage from mining metals or other substances for battery packs than you do from mining iron ore to get steel.
Right.
And admittedly, much steel is recycled. But overall, the carbon profile of manufacturing a car is less than a tenth of its total environmental damage.
Okay.
So, yes, a Prius may be slightly worse in the manufacturing process, but that's not the big part of it. So if you double the mileage, a Prius is 50 miles a gallon, let's say that's double the mileage of a 25-mile-a-gallon car,
right,
you are essentially halving almost all of the environmental damage of your car. Okay? So that's number one. Does that help?
Yeah, I thought that makes a lot of sense.
Number two, burning coal. This is a very common question. It's a good question because basically no one has had to think about sort of the transfer of pollution or of carbon emissions from your vehicle to the power plant, and it's entirely appropriate. A Nissan Leaf may be zero emission; it has no tailpipe, but you know there are emissions going into moving it around. Here's the situation. There's a lovely study out there done by a pair of unlikely partners, the Electric Power Research Institute, which is the electric utility industry think tank, along with the Natural Resources Defense Council.
Yeah, and
not necessarily, you know, people who are friendly to the industry. They collaborated on a study about 3 years ago to look at the wells-to-wheels carbon profile of driving a mile on grid power, like when you plug in your Leaf, versus burning gasoline in a car. What they found is that if you compare to a 25-mile-a-gallon gasoline car, you can drive your Leaf on the absolute dirtiest coal-fired grid in the entire country, which I think is North Dakota's. I may be wrong, but I have the figure somewhere. And you are still emitting less carbon by driving on that electric power than you are burning the gasoline. And in large part, it's due to the fact that gasoline engines are exceptionally inefficient. Out of the energy in a tank of gasoline, only 25% of it actually makes it into turning your wheels. The other 75% is wasted as heat and noise.
Yeah.
Okay? Whereas electricity generation is much more efficient to start with. Those big power plants, you know, can be 50%, maybe higher, in terms of turning energy in their fuel into actual power, and distributing the power is much more efficient. You know, you lose a few percent sending it across the lines, you lose a few percent charging your car, but it's much more efficient usage of energy. Now, if you take your 25-mile-a-gallon car and turn it into a Prius, 50 miles a gallon, there are a couple of cases, that dirty North Dakota grid, where actually it's slightly better to burn the gasoline than to charge up a Leaf. But in a place like California, where a lot of the electric cars are going to be sold, and the cleaner grid, you have to be over 100 miles a gallon before it gets to be a
launch. They've got all those wind farms and solar farms starting.
Well, that's another issue, too. There is a great deal of improvement being planned for all of our grids.
Well, that's true.
That's right. Although the bogey on both sides is going to be moving. The grid is gradually going to get greener as we work out ways to incorporate more renewable power. But the average miles per gallon of the car that you're comparing to is steadily going to rise. So, which is a good thing. We're getting more efficient both ways. But at the moment, and for the fleet on the road, plugging in an electric car and driving a mile on electric power, no matter what you're firing it on, is better for the environment.
So I have a question about the battery. You know, do we know what the life of, say, a Prius's battery is now? I know they're very expensive, and I'm wondering, for the sake of this listener, is that something that she should be considering?
Another great question. Toyota now has experience with the batteries, and they fail at less than the rate of any other component. They put an enormous amount of testing into that battery, and most of the battery replacements that they make are actually from accident damage. You know, if you dent or bend your battery, if you get rear-ended in your Prius, they're probably going to suggest that it be replaced. But the batteries are probably one of the more reliable components in the car. More importantly, in a hybrid, they are required by law to be warrantied to last either 8 years and 100,000 miles or 10 years and 150,000 miles, depending on which state you live in.
Both
the Chevy Volt and the Nissan Leaf have adopted that same battery warranty for their batteries, which is to say, yes, if you buy a 15-year-old Chevrolet Volt in 2026, you know, I can't say anything about the battery, but the manufacturers know that this is a concern amongst consumers, because a Prius battery is something like $2,400. A Volt battery pack probably costs GM $10,000. And yes, people will not want to be replacing these. in the same way that you don't want to be replacing your engine. And so they're simply saying, we're going to give it the longest warranty of any component in the vehicle. And frankly, I'm not that worried. I know the kinds of testing they do on these things. Yeah. And absent some sort of manufacturing defect, and they monitor that stuff very carefully, I think the battery is the least of your worries.
Well, yeah, I mean, you got to believe that they're putting a lot into it because it is a lot of concern. Now, I want to go on for another half an hour, but I guess we have to close it up. Do you have any – what car, John, would you buy right now if you were –
That was
like,
my question. What do you drive, John? Is it fair to ask you what you drive right
well,
now?
It's fair to ask me what I drive. It's not necessarily the single greenest car on the planet, but it's pretty good for its class. I happen to drive a Subaru Outback because
awesome.
I have a little house in the mountains, and I haul bunches of stuff around, and I need the all-wheel drive to get up my road in the winter. I have the smallest engine that they offer in that car, and which is one of my little pieces of advice. I mean, quite frankly, there are a lot of people who need seven-seat vehicles or minivans or even Chevy Suburbans. One of the ways to be green, even within that, if you can't sort of work out a thing where if you need it once a year, you just rent it. But, you know, if you're really and truly hauling seven people around on a regular basis, get the smallest engine that they offer.
Now, but if you were this, like, let's say you were in the market to buy a car right now, and based on all this, you know, other stuff, would you still buy the Outback, or would you consider...
And is the Outback a gasoline engine car?
The Outback is a gasoline engine. Subaru is going to be coming out with a hybrid next year, which I'm very, very eager to learn more about. But it depends what you need a car for. If you just need a car for sort of regular duty, as much as it's become sort of a stereotype, the Toyota Prius is a mid-sized car in terms of interior volume. It's got a hatchback, so you can haul big, strange, lumpy things around. And it gets the best mileage of any vehicle sold in this country.
It gets
51 miles a gallon in the city, 48 miles a gallon on the highway for an average of 50 miles a gallon. A mid-sized car that gets 50 miles a gallon, not such a bad deal.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that one. Well, I'm so glad you called in, John. We'll look forward to, I think it's the 30th.
Okay.
And we'll promote a little bit in advance. Have fun and Happy New Year. And we'll be chatting with you online before then.
Thanks for having me, and remember, you can find my stuff at greencarreports.com.
Excellent.
Happy New Year, everyone.
Thanks, John.
Happy New Year.
Great. Bye.
Wow. Well, it's 8 o'clock. I'm just going to say real quick to check in. We have a full schedule. Our calendar is booked with great interviews right up into March, I think. We've got Green Divas all lined up in reports. Check us out at thegreendivas.com. And also, of course, find us on Facebook. Thanks, Green Diva Lisa, for being in the studio tonight. It was fun.
Great to be here. Thanks.
And Green Dude Scott, as always.
Happy New Year, everybody.
We'll see you next year. And we'll talk to you next year, man. Have a great green week. Bye.
All right. Take care.
You've been listening to the Green Divas Radio Hour. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, follow them on Facebook and Twitter, and don't forget to visit thegreendivas.com.